You know what? It is a good morning. It is a good morning. We're having some fun here on the show. Welcome back. It is the Rob Brown Show, the three-time South Carolina Broadcasters Association Sports Talk Radio Show of the Year. Spectacular, as always, to have you guys with us every single weekday morning from 6 until 10 a.m. You can watch the stream as we do stream all 4 hours of the show live every single day that we do it, except the ones we don't, by going to facebook.com/thefanupstate, by searching and subscribing to The Fan Upstate on Facebook, The Rob Brown Show on Facebook as well. Same on YouTube, The Fan Upstate on YouTube, The Rob Brown Show on YouTube, and The Rob Brown Show on Twitch. All of those destinations we stream the show live to every single day. You are welcomed, encouraged, nay, demanded to join us on the live stream. America, indeed. And always overexcited to do the show. Always overexcited. Thanks, XL. By the way, Xavier Leggett has been seen back at practice, has not been going through full contact drills, but has been in gear, has been running routes, has been catching footballs. We'll see. I got to think week two is where we are going to see the majority of the snaps for starters around the league. I got to think week two is the week that we are going to see the majority of starters. That being said, one of them we will not see, J.J. McCarthy. And I will say this. I'm not a J.J. guy. I don't think J.J. is going to be a transformational quarterback. I don't think J.J. is going to be a guy, especially not in year one, that's going to blow anybody away. Though I will say, in his first preseason appearance, outside of the pick that he threw early, J.J. dropped some dots on dudes. J.J. was threading it a little bit in his first preseason game. A couple of very nice sideline passes, etc. Regardless of how I feel about the dude, I do hope, as he has got to undergo surgery for a torn meniscus in his right knee, I do hope it's not serious. The question mark is, do they have to just simply trim the meniscus, which would mean he could return in just a few weeks, or will they have to go in there and completely replace that meniscus, in which case he could miss time going into the season? Sam Darnold obviously going to be listed sole quarterback number one for the Minnesota Vikings now. Number one, Sam's last shot, right? Sam's last shot to be a starter. He is, again, a more than serviceable QB2 on any roster. If Sam Darnold's going to be a starting quarterback, this is his last opportunity. And if you believe that part of the reason that Kirk Cousins got the contract he got with Atlanta was because of the skill level of the receivers, running backs, and tight ends he was playing with in Minnesota, which is an impressive skill level, Sam Darnold's got to do something with this opportunity. Number two, shout out to J.J. McCarthy. Regardless of how you feel about the kid's future, I hope it is dictated by his skill level and talent level, not by a stupid preseason injury that ends up becoming something more serious. So we'll see what impact that has. J.J. McCarthy, do not have a timetable on his return yet. Do not know how long he is going to be out, how much he is going to miss with that meniscus. We will find out what, if anything, comes next for J.J. McCarthy. That's a bummer, though. This is a dude that, again, do I think he's going to be a great NFL quarterback? Not really. I'm not sold on J.J. McCarthy. At the same time, the Minnesota Vikings clearly were. The Minnesota Vikings clearly believe that this kid is ready to be a QB in the show, and I hope it's up to him, not his knee, whether he is or is not. But we'll keep an eye on that story as it continues to develop. You know what? Let's get to this real quick, just because lulz. Mookie Betts is a utility player, I'll call him, because he was moved to the infield. He's got some time in the outfield. Traditionally played the outfield. Also capable of playing at second or short. Mookie Betts, one of the best baseball players in Major League Baseball. And despite the fact that he is an LA Dodger, Rob Brown's a pretty big fan of Mookie Betts. That's just a dude who plays the game the right way, if you will pardon my boomerism. By the way, we got a text in the last hour that said, go to the mall. Okay, boomer. Yeah, I'm going to tell you right now, Greenville, South Carolina is very lucky to have a mall that is still worth going to.
Okay, I don't understand. Is there a...
The kids don't go to malls anymore.
Really?
Yeah, hanging out at the mall when I was growing up, hanging at the mall used to be that you did.
That's a lie. That's not true. Anytime I've been to Haywood Mall, it's full of teenagers. So, I mean, you know, I don't get it.
Okay, it's not viewed as being a traditional hangout for the youth anymore.
All right, I just want to also point out that the majority of the stores there are geared towards teenagers.
Nah, I wouldn't go that far.
Oh yeah, for sure.
As a regular visitor of the Haywood Mall, because again, we do have one of the few malls that is still worth going to as a regular participant in the activities of the Haywood Mall, because it's on the way home for me. I don't know that I'd go that far. Would I say there's teenagers that hang out there? Yes. Is it?
Are you there on a Friday or Saturday?
Occasionally. Usually it is.
Why are you at the mall? That's creepy. You're old. You're not supposed to go there.
Because the mall sells things, and I can get multiple things in one go. Unless I can get all the same things at the Costco, and then I go to the Costco because also I'm old.
So you just go and sit outside the Lego store and wish you had money.
No, I go in the Lego store and wish I had money.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I go hands-on with things that I can't afford, for sure. Anyway, if you'll pardon my boomerisms, Alex said I only go to the Haywood Mall for Spirit Halloween. About that time, by the way. About that time. Almost spooky season. About that time. The L.A. Dodgers star, as the Dodgers have had a battle going with the Milwaukee Brewers, the L.A. Dodgers had a series with Milwaukee, and Mookie Betts once again refused to stay at the Pfister Hotel, P-F-I-S-T-E-R Hotel, a beautiful old hotel in downtown Milwaukee, built in 1893. But of course, any building, great one, built in the 1800s is
haunted.
That is correct. The Pfister Hotel is rumored to be haunted. There are legends of ghosts walking the hallways of the Pfister Hotel. And Mookie Betts believes that to be correct. Now, we've actually told you the story before that baseball players staying at the Pfister Hotel have claimed to have had encounters of the paranormal kind. In fact, a year or two ago, Oakland Athletics player, who was it? Brent Rooker, outfielder. Brent Rooker said that he has had an encounter. He put out on Twitter last year, quote, "We're at the notoriously haunted Pfister Hotel in Milwaukee, but the only thing the ghosts are doing to me is randomly turning off and on or changing the channel on my TV, which all in all doesn't seem so bad, so I'm okay with it." I mean, I respect that, you know. It's just a ghost trying to get your attention, and I respect that. Anyway, Rooker said, "I'll have it on like the golf channel and I'll be on my laptop looking down. I look back up and it's on QVC or some other channel that is definitely not the golf channel." That's happened a few times. "I fell asleep with it on one night and woke up at like 4 a.m. and it was off, which I figured was just like a sleep timer. I woke back up at 7:30 or 8 and it was back on and on a different channel that I had fallen asleep with on. It's just kind of small stuff like that." All right. "I'm more than happy to let them choose the channel as long as they're cool otherwise."
Yeah, I'm not buying it. I mean, you know, remotes can work for a couple of different TVs. Used to do that a bunch back when remotes were first invented, because I'm old, just messing with other people's TVs with a remote. You can do that. I mean, it's a signal. You can figure that out. And there may be a short causing that to happen. Come on. Do I believe ghosts are real? I don't believe they're not real. But in this case, it's the TV's changing. I mean, come on, dude. This is, "I heard this place is haunted, so now you're seeing things that make you think it's haunted." It's a power suggestion.
So that is one of the things. I do not believe ghosts are real. All right. I actively disbelieve in ghosts. I have stayed in one place. I stayed in a bed and breakfast in Vicksburg, Virginia. Vicksburg, Virginia, famously, obviously, the site of one of the biggest sieges of the Civil War. And the Airbnb that we stayed in was there during the siege of Vicksburg and was used as effectively a field hospital for Confederate soldiers under siege in Vicksburg, South Carolina. So we stayed in that hotel, and I will say, despite being a skeptic at the best, I did have some weird stuff go down that night. All right. Now I heard somebody walking up and then down and then up and down the stairs at night. Can I prove that it was a ghost as opposed to just somebody out there making the rounds, security guard? Nope.
Or possibly air conditioning causing, you know, an older place to creak in ways.
Absolutely.
I mean,
no, this was definitely footsteps on the stairs.
Mm-hmm.
You could hear them going up and down, like to and from you. But again,
your scientific mind didn't set up like your phone camera or something trying to catch the footsteps.
Well, I was like 14, so.
Okay, well, so you didn't develop that till you got older?
Yes, that is absolutely correct.
You should have been right in the middle of learning right there, 14.
No, at that point, Rob Brown was not the cynical butthole that he is today. I hadn't reached that point in my life yet.
Life does do that to some people.
Yeah, that is correct. 29 years ago, I was not the complete and total butt that I am today. So, no. So I get it. If you are inclined to believe that is, I did have some other weird things happen. We smelt a cigar in the middle of the night. And of course, when you get there, what's the first thing that happens is you go have dinner at the bed and breakfast and spooky, creepy old bartender guy goes, you know, they say at night you can smell his name was cigar burning. And then what do you smell? So there's also the point that some dude just comes in, takes a couple of puffs off the cigar because he wants you to have that experience so that you wake up the next day. And if you want to believe in a ghost, you go, oh, I totally smelled it. And if you don't, you go, some jackwagon was smoking a cigar at 2 a.m.
No, Rob, you're not going to believe this, but sometimes I smell popcorn in this room. And I didn't make the popcorn.
Well, as we all know, one of the long ago dead hosts on the Fan Upstate back in 1893, when they were talking about Abner Doubleday and his electrifying baseball talent.
Because that's what they would have been talking about.
Yeah, was known for munching on popcorn in the studio.
Yeah.
And the spirit remains.
Yes.
Anyway, Mookie Betts refuses to stay at the Pfister Hotel. He won't do it. The Dodgers have another matchup coming with the Brewers down the pipe, and he has already said, nope, I'm staying at an Airbnb. He did go on to say that he doesn't really believe in ghosts, but said that he could not, last time they stayed there, and he did stay there, he couldn't sleep because even though he doesn't believe in ghosts, quote, I couldn't sleep, every noise, I'd be like, is that something? Is that something?
So they got a Mookie's head. So now he's got to stay somewhere else.
That's 100% it. And I got to tell you right now, if I am the Brewers, I am laying into that so hard. Yeah, during camp, we stay at the Pfister, and I got to tell you.
That's what every campfire story is for, to prime the audience to getting jump scared or whatever. So,
bingo. We talked about this yesterday on the show. One of the most important principles of communications that you will learn is how to prime your audience. That is to say, how to get something into the head of your audience so that when they see or hear something else, they subconsciously or otherwise think about your thing. If I'm the Brewers, oh, are you kidding me? I'm bringing in one of those goofy-ass paranormal investigator shows, you know? What's that dude that was on the Discovery Channel and he had, like, the giant spikes on his head? Like, just the... When I say to you, outgrown it but won't give it up, college frat boy D-bag, this is the guy that comes into your head?
But at the same time, as science guy, I would think that you would want to go along with one of those paranormal experts, learn how the equipment works, all that kind of stuff, just so you could prove that they're wrong.
I have. I have literally been in a cemetery in New Orleans, Louisiana, on a paranormal investigation, and I once asked...
Yeah, but was it a tour? Is it a tour? Yeah, you pay $5 and a bunch of people go along with one guy. Is that what it was?
It was a tour, but they brought all their equipment with them.
Yeah, but it's not the same as actually finding a company that does it.
No, it was run by one of them. Okay. It is a tour run by a paranormal investigative team or whatever, and they brought out their EMP meters and their spirit boxes and their this gauge and that gauge. And I was like, all right, well, you know, this EMP, it picks up electromagnetic spikes. And I'm like, all right, but like, how do you know it's caused by a spirit? Well, that's just what they generate. Right. But how do you know that they generate that? How do you know that a paranormal, if I was the Brewers, I don't care about any of that.
Some guy's like, dude, I paid $5 to get scared. Why don't you shut up?
Pretty much. Pretty much. I will say we had one of those. I went on that one. We got told before you go in, you know, it's noted that this lady who got murdered in this house and is buried here, she used to wear jasmine scented perfume. And wouldn't you know it, when you got to her grave, is that jasmine in the air? Shocking, so, I know.
Someone who doesn't believe in any of that, why are you going on all these tours?
Because the same reason I don't believe that Tom Cruise is flying jets upside down like it's the Death Star, but I'm still going to watch Top Gun and love the hell out of it because good stories are good stories.
If anyone could do it, it would be Tom Cruise.
No, if anybody could do it, it's a trained United States Air Force jet fighter pilot.
I think he does fly his own
jets. Yeah, again, that stunt can't I've watched Air Force pilots bring it down on YouTube. That's those planes physically cannot perform that activity. But again, a good story is I above all else love good stories. Above all else, I love a good story. That's why sports are so freaking good. Not because of whether this quarterback can break down a cover two, cover three, read a front four versus a front three and make the right adjustments. That's all well and good. The good story is, can Dak Prescott overcome the playoff bugaboo?
Then you and I need to go to a haunted, you know, house or hayride or something so you can prove that it's not real.
No, not that. Because me getting jump scared is not the same as being told a good story.
So you couldn't get jump scared by an actual ghost?
If it happens, that would be the greatest thing that ever happened because I would have empirical evidence that this is a real thing. All right? That, yes, I'm all in for all of this. What I'm saying is, if I am the Brewers, I'm bringing out, I think his name was Zach. I'm bringing out that DB from the Discovery Channel with his 90 necklaces and leather wristbands for no reason at all and being like, here's what I need you to do, bud. What I need you to do is I need you to tell the rest of MLB that this is the most haunted place that's ever. The haunts have haunts. The ghosts are scared of the ghosts that are here. That's what I need you to tell them. So Mookie Betts can't get a good night's sleep. Texture said, I've stayed at the Pfister a few years ago for my wife's cousin's wedding, and I had to share a room with my in-laws. Far more frightening than a ghost. I'd risk it with a ghost.
Especially if they were still active, if you know what I mean.
Back after this on the Rob Brown Show. Oh, in the Fan Upstate. Don't know if you've heard this story yet. Don't know how you feel about it. I did have a chuckle last night as I was perusing Panthers message boards. The Panthers on Sunday had practice. And apparently the Panthers on Sunday offensively had a pretty bad practice. And a report came out after that pretty bad practice, that is punishment for having a pretty bad practice. Dave Canales had the offense running gassers after practice. Now, as Lonzo and I and anybody else who played high school athletics can tell you, there are very few punishments that make you squirm quite as much as being forced to run gassers. A lot of people still have PTSD just hearing the word gassers. Gassers in football, you know, it was Sprint to the 10 back, the 20 back, the 30 back, the 40 back, the 50 back. In basketball, for us, it was free throw line back, timeline back, half court back, timeline other side back, 3-point line other side back, free throw line other side back, baseline other side back.
Did they call those suicides? Because they called
suicides, same thing.
Yeah.
Yep, they were suicides when I was there. That word, obviously, not fan-friendly anymore, so now they're gassers. Anyway, yesterday I got online and I was perusing Panther message boards getting set for today's show. Because you never know where a moment of inspiration from a disgruntled fan might strike and give you the idea for a topic. Texas said in basketball we call them guts. Yeah, that checks out because you want to puke yours up after you run one, for sure. Our basketball coach would make us run one, then your break was running to the other baseline to do them back the other way. Yeah, guts is a good word for it, because after you're done with them, you puke yours onto the basketball court. Anyway, was perusing the Panthers message boards yesterday and came across one where after the news report came out that the Panthers offense had a bad day and Kanellis had them running gassers as a punishment, where a guy created a meme. So I just sent it to you in your Twitter inbox, if you don't mind taking a look at it, because I think you, as much as anybody else, will appreciate the hell out of this meme. The meme, and obviously this is much better to explain visually than it is to share. So if you're on the stream, there it is. If you're on the stream, I'm going to present the meme to you now. Let me take down the layover so you can see it. The meme is based on a Scooby-Doo cartoon. It has a picture of, from a very famous Scooby-Doo episode, the guest, the host, combine those words, the ghost. The bad guy ghost that is haunting whatever mansion or theme park or villa or whatever the gang is investigating, tied up with a rope. And over the top of the ghost, it has the headline from when Dave Canales Ray made the offense run gassers. And of course, it's Freddy talking to the gang, saying, okay, gang, let's see who the coach really is. And Freddie removes in the episode the mask off the ghost to show that it was the theme park owner, Mr. Loggins. But why, Mr. Loggins, why? Because I wanted to run up the price to the amusement park and sell it to the land developers. And I would have gotten away with it, too, if it wasn't for you kids and your meddling dog. Well, he pulls off the mask of Dave Canales' face to reveal it was Matt Rhule again. Basically, a fan saying something to the effect of Matt Rhule is just Dave Canales is just another Matt Rhule. Here's a very college way of running an NFL team. And I will acknowledge, Lonzo, that the meme got the same reaction from me that it got to you. Not a full laugh, but like the breathe out of your nose laugh.
Well, it's also, you're hoping it's not true. And then there's, you know, this whole thing. So you're not allowed to punish through exercise when a team messes up. It's about team unity. If you ever had to do that, it's more about one guy messed up, so the whole team has to run. Not so you hate that guy, so you understand that you operate as a team and you're only as good as your weakest link. There's so many philosophical reasons to punish that way. And I don't care if they're pampered millionaires. They got to do better.
So in an ideal world, everything you just said is spot on correct. But the NFL is not an ideal world. The NFL is the NFL. And a lot of these guys are absolutely going to view this as a sophomoric way of punishing NFL players. Does that mean it's bad? Not necessarily. This is one spot that I will say it is very important to develop team leaders, because what stops that mentality from taking over are team leaders who look to guys who do whine and complain about this being collegiate, sophomoric, in the face and going, get the hell over it. We are a team. We operate as such. I don't know if Dave Canales has developed those team leaders. We'll find out in 2 weeks when the Panthers go down to New Orleans and take on the Saints in week number one. What I will say is this. By God, are Panthers fans that bad? Are Panthers fans that bad? I was very curious. This meme got put up, and the Panthers fans are split right down the middle. For instance, there is a comment that says, nah, there's a clear difference, lulz. Now, the second commenter made the distinction that he still feels like he could get a beer with Dave Canales. And for the record,
wow. Thanks. Thanks, dude.
I feel like I could get a beer with Dave Canales because Canales knows and loves to talk ball. And I appreciate a coach who actually talks ball like a coach and not like a coach speaker. There's a big difference. But I'm interested in seeing what the mentality, what the attitude of this team is, because there were other guys saying this just feels like another Matt Rhule OOU moment. This just feels like another Matt Rhule doesn't understand, acknowledge, or coach to the differences between college and NFL ball.
So the difference is you become rich so you don't have to exercise as punishment. I don't get why. I mean, throughout football, all these kids, since they started in rec league, moving up through high school, through college, that's always been a punishment for them. But you get to the NFL and suddenly, well, we're the best. We're above that sort of thing. That's just ridiculous.
Well, let's not pretend for even the singlest of single seconds that players who have NFL capability, A, don't stand out even from their Pee Wee League days, and B, aren't given special sets of rules.
They still have to run with everybody else, though. That's what I'm talking about.
I don't disagree, but I will also tell you, as somebody who has been around it,
Hey, you smell that?
I do smell popcorn, and it's infuriating.
Must be a ghost.
It's infuriating. The ghost of old Ron, the original host back in 1772 on this station.
Stinking Ron, go hang out with Double Day and quit making popcorn.
Cooking up the popcorn. Whoever's doing that's a bad person, though. I'm going to go on and say it. It's, you know what you're doing.
What if it's Tori? You calling Tori a bad person?
If she's cooking up, I love Tori. Okay. I love
all
Tori.
Right. All right.
Tori's arguably my favorite on-air personality. I think I like Tori more than myself. But if she is cooking up popcorn at 8:38 a.m. and filling this building with the scent of it, yeah, that's a jerk move. You hear me, Tori? You hear me?
I mean, technically, you know, most people, when they've been at work for 4 hours, are ready for lunch, and maybe that's just lunch. It does make you hungry, though.
All of that being said.
Especially since I gave up popcorn since I was in the hospital and almost died last year. And just the smell of it makes me miss it.
Are you holding popcorn responsible for your health issues?
No, there are certain foods that don't digest well, and popcorn is one of those.
Can you have glizzies?
I'm not poor.
That doesn't stop you from having a glizzy. Anyway, point here is, yes, a lot of NFL guys are going to look at something like this as beneath them. A lot of NFL guys are going to look at something like this as a very sophomoric and collegiate way to punish a group of NFL players for a poor day of production. That's not saying it is. What I am saying is, I hope Dave Canales has developed some team leaders. I hope he's developed some guys that are going to look him in the face and go, hey, you suck today. Stop sucking, and we don't have to do this anymore. That's how you avoid this punishment. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show with the Fan Upstate. Wesley said, speaking of glizzies, do you guys remember what Costco's CFO said to the owner about raising the price? I do. I do. There was a point where the Costco board of directors was talking about raising the price of the Costco hot dogs from the $1.50 up. And the CFO said, I will kill you. Quote.
Wait, so he literally threatened to kill you?
Yes.
Okay.
I will kill you. Which is, I mean, is there a more power move than not just saying, I will bleeping kill you?
I don't know if that's a power move.
No, that's not the power move. The power move is saying it, getting away with it, and that being the reason that hot dogs are still $1.50. It's not that he said it. It's that he said it, got away with it, and it worked.
Well, it's obviously because he cares about poor people.
Or he cares about Costco's valued executive members, like me.
Or poor people who go there to get hot dogs.
I go there to get hot dogs, but not because I'm poor people. I'm talent, remember? I'm loaded over here.
In this economy, talent is about the same as me. So, I mean, yeah.
All right, we got a few more things I want to get to on the show. Let's start with this. Jonathan Taylor wore the Guardian cap in a preseason game this past weekend. Anybody catch that? The Guardian cap that he wore had the helmet design, including the blue stripe down the middle and the Colt horseshoe logo on the side. It also was a much more streamlined Guardian cap than the big ones that are being worn by players in preseason camp, etc.
So it's a fashion statement, not for protection, then?
No, not at all.
If you slim it down, doesn't it lose its protection?
Not necessarily, but I will tell you that I haven't really done a deep dive study into the composition of the helmet. But there
are, because I don't know what those are made out of.
The Guardian caps, and I'm sure most of you at this point have seen them, are made up of a series of foam pads, very similar to the foam that goes into the shoulder pads between the shoulder and the shell of the pad. That same kind of composite foam, but it's made up of different segments so that it is not just more elastic and able to absorb the shock of helmet v. helmet or helmet v. ground contact. But it's also bendable, right? So it can conform to the space between the helmet and the helmet or the helmet and the ground.
I still have my concerns with Guardian caps. I understand the reason why they're doing it. But at the same time, unless you are going to wear them for an entire game, I think you're also kind of putting the guys in danger because they don't know what it feels like to get hit without them. Especially rookies coming in. Well, I guess they do when in college. But so I mean, you protect them in practice. Why do they not wear them in games?
Well, that is the question mark, is the NFL has now, and this isn't a huge deal, but the NFL has, to my understanding, given clearance to players to wear them in real football contests if they elect to do so. So Jonathan Taylor was one of five Colts who wore the Guardian cap in that preseason game. I do not know that anyone else from any other team has elected to do so, but I would suspect that we are a matter of time, because players are not just not dumb people, but on top of that, not just not dumb people, but they are also people that have to, they've got to protect health and longevity in their careers. You can't make football money if you're not playing football, and you do have to play X amount of time in order to qualify for those retirement benefits. So they are looking to protect themselves long term. I would not be shocked to see players begin as early as this year deciding to wear Guardian caps in real-time play.
I would love to be down on the field to hear what a DB says to a receiver that's wearing one of those.
You know, it's kind of one of those things.
In the end, it's still football, dude. I mean, you're still going to talk stuff to someone.
Sure, and I'm sure that there will absolutely be players who mock a guy wearing one. But I have a relative who refuses to wear seatbelts. To this day, in 2024, refuses to wear seatbelts. And the logic behind them is the insurance companies are lying to you. They do not make you safer. In fact, they make you less safe. And I have had the conversation with this individual repeatedly that that's not true. Literally every car company has done 1,001 studies where they have literally strapped bodies into their cars and wrecked them intentionally to see what happens. And you are infinitely safer wearing your seatbelt than you are not wearing your seatbelt. And this individual just does not care about that study. Just doesn't. Nope. That's just what the scientists want you to believe. Okay, bro. Okay. Here's the paperwork. You should read it one day, but okay. So,
like, people can't just make something up and say that's the paperwork.
I mean, they can, but there is a difference between made it up and here's literally the results of the multiple experiments that we have done. Find where we're wrong, win the Nobel Prize.
I think you're missing the point. If you're a guy who doesn't believe in the science, why would he believe the science written down?
Because it is one thing to go, I disagree with what you are saying, and another thing to go, here's all the math. Here's literally the math that proves what I'm saying.
You can make that math up.
There's this problem that people have. Oh, we're about to go down a philosophical road I didn't intend to go down, but that's okay. I'm going to connect it back to football. Stay with me. I'm a professional. So there's this thing that has happened over the years. There's this thing that's happened over the last couple of years where people think that numbers are biased, okay? Science is predicated on taking someone's math, numbers, results of an experiment, and proving them wrong. That is what science does. Science does not prove things right.
Say science is a predator.
What? No, predicated. Very, very different word in this context. And all, in every, the point of science is not to prove things correct. The point of science is actually to prove things incorrect. It is to prove you're wrong. And here's your results. Here's the math. Prove it wrong. That is what science is. So when science is able to prove with numbers that you're more safe with a seatbelt than without one, to go, no, man, that's just like your opinion, Big Lebowski style. No, it's not. In science, you have an opinion, but then you have to prove that with numbers, and then someone else has to disprove that it is wrong by finding a bias or a flaw or incorrect math somewhere in there.
I think you misunderstand me. What I'm saying is if someone doesn't believe it, writing it down isn't going to make them believe it.
Oh, I don't disagree with that. There are some people able to look at proven empirical results and go, no, those are dumb and I hate them. And I don't disagree. Here's what I am saying.
Your shirt's getting on my nerves, by the way.
Why?
Because I keep staring longingly into Dolly's eyes.
That's a fair thing to do.
I get lost there.
That's fair. Okay, that's fair. That's a good reason to. When science has shown, as the NFL claims it has, and I've actually in the past, not recently, but in the past when they came out, I think last year, they did a study. And it's not a huge number. It's like the Guardian caps, when they went into effect, decreased off-season concussions by like 9.5% or something like that. But I mean, you're looking at getting rid of 10% of preseason head injuries. And that was in the first year that they were largely, if not entirely, worn by everybody that's not a quarterback. I got to tell you, if I'm a football dude, why the hell would I not wear one?
What I'm saying, again, make it mandatory for everybody. Make it a part of the uniform. Don't make it voluntary. If this is to protect, as you just said, and it is, then make everyone wear them. If everyone wears them, then it's just become a part of the uniform. And people can make fun of it and all that kind of stuff. But after a while, you get used to it. Just make it a part of the uniform. Since they've decided to paint them like the helmets, that's what they're going to do. Once they did that, I mean, how noticeable is it going to be? Unless you're zooming in watching. Yeah, the helmets will look a little weird, but you're not, I mean, just make it mandatory for everybody.
So that's exactly where I was going. That's exactly where I was going. Do not be shocked if at some point in the next year or two, these are part of the NFL system.
Yeah, as soon as they painted them, it was like, yeah, that's what they're doing.
So the first time, which was this offseason about 2 weeks ago, the first time that I saw one of these, and it was an LA Chargers, as a matter of fact. It was a practice clip that came out, and I watched the guy turn, and I'm like, yo, that must be a real tiny dude, because he's got a big-ass head. He's got that J.D. McDonough noggin.
Wow.
He turned the corner, and I'm like, that dude's head's enormous. But as he ran by the camera, I went, oh, no, he's a regular-sized dude with a regular-sized head. He's just wearing a Guardian cap. Why didn't I notice that? And the answer was because it was the helmet logo painted on the Guardian cap. It was a Guardian cap with the Charger lightning bolt and stripe on the helmet. And as soon as I saw that, I'm like, oh, okay, these are going to be mandatory. Because remember, it is not just protecting the players, but it's also the league protecting itself. And considering they've lost a lot of money losing lawsuits to former players because of CTE and head injuries, if these things definitely prove that head injuries are diminished by wearing them, and now they can slap logos on them, you don't be shocked in the next 4 or 5 years if every NFL player on NFL Sunday is wearing Guardian caps on top of their helmets. I was going to make a joke about me and Lonzo having big heads, but I'm not going to do that. Instead, I'm just going to say Sports Flash.
You're killing me, Smalls. That's just...
You were talking to me!
Yeah, sure. The Dallas Cowboys have become the first American franchise to be valued at over $10 billion. The Cowboys, who haven't won a Lombardi Trophy since 1996, topped the LA Rams, New York Giants, New England Patriots, and San Francisco 49ers as the most valuable franchises, while the league's 32 teams combined are worth $190 billion, according to Sportico. The Atlanta Braves have run off back-to-back wins for the first time in nearly 2 weeks after another one-run extra innings win over the San Francisco Giants, 4-3. Charlie Morton went 6 innings, giving up 6 hits and 2 runs. While Dylan Lee earned the win after 1 inning with no hits or runs surrendered. Tune in this afternoon from 3 to 7 p.m. for a brand new local show, Wire to Wire. Cole Bryson and Diesel get you up to date on the latest local and national sports news. Great guests, great debate, whole lot of fun. Wire to Wire.